Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Final hour, the Bish and Bick Show. At 9:20, we are going to talk to Jerry Brewer of the Washington Post, talk some more skins. He is a huge fan of Bruce Allen, big fan. But now we are going to talk a little entertainment because Eric Bickle is perusing the stories. And he's got some Imagine Dragons news. I'm sure he's got some porn news.
Warren, what are you talking about?
He's probably got
He's
probably got some scandalous teacher news.
There's definitely a scandalous teacher story in there.
Of course.
Definitely
there is.
A former Miss Kentucky.
Yeah, Miss Kentucky, Jason.
Oh, you know what? I saw that.
That girl's kind of a show.
It's a show.
She was. Well, the picture I saw was a mugshot, so she didn't look that great. But
I included some of the pageant pics and just the regular hot pics.
They can't really get away from this bikini stuff, are they? Because they might as well just cancel all
pageants. Is this the girl
pageants.
That was, she was sending pictures to like some 15-year-old kid?
Yes. Mm. Topless photos.
Right.
Her name is
Ramsey
Carpenter.
How can she send those pics to me?
She's a middle school teacher. arrested for sending nudes to a student via Snapchat. And now she's admitting to it. She's, of course, regretting it. She played the fiddle. In her 2014 pageant run, where she was a former Miss Kentucky, and she's been a teacher in the Kanawha County School District. She went on to actually finish 12th in Miss America back in 2014. Can you imagine that? But Ramsey Carpenter, 28, charged with 4 felony counts of distribution of display of obscene matter to minor. Can you imagine?
And so
she's got everything going for her. And she's going to bother and mess around with some 15-year-old kid. She sent the kid 4 topless photos.
Well, can you imagine the number of legal age graspers there are for her?
Yeah.
That's why she's screwed up in the head. She has a mental deficiency.
That's what it is.
Because everybody wants her, and then she decided maybe she wanted this innocent 15-year-old kid.
Maybe you can think about, you know, how some of these teachers aren't as silly as she is. You know, but she has everything.
Did she ever have contact with this kid?
I don't know if they actually consummated.
So this is a student
she's
of hers?
She's accused of sending a 15-year-old boy at least 4 topless photos. They were sent using Snapchat from August through October of this year.
And it's a kid that she teaches. Is that true?
You're asking me. You like to go right to the difficult
question. Well, you've got the story in front of you.
It doesn't sound like it because she's a middle school teacher and then the kid's 15.
It doesn't sound like it was one of her students, but it might have been a former student. That's what I think it might have been.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So she definitely knew how old he was. She can't claim she thought he was 21.
No.
I bet all the hurting, jealous teachers at her school are butt-sized.
That she's gone now?
Yeah, that the pretty...
Like all the frumpies?
Yeah, the frumpies, yeah. That the pretty, probably bitchy Miss Kentucky's
going to jail.
The guy teachers are.
I mean, the guy teachers are better. The gym teacher's better. Yeah. The principal's better.
Well, gym teacher's definitely better. He wasn't getting the boobies.
Yeah. But she is a dime piece.
Yeah,
but you're right, Valdez. She's just effed in the head.
Well, it's just amazing. I mean,
you can't explain crazy.
You can understand a frumpy because the frumpy's like past their...
They want
their due date,
they're not getting any attention.
She's getting attention from the whole world,
right?
And she chooses a 15-year-old boy.
Now, are male teachers doing the same thing? Just not making the news.
Well, they're
are male teachers sending dong pics to
middle
school girls?
But Barstool doesn't care about that. See, he's just doing a Barstool story every day.
This Kentucky thing was on every website.
Correct. But for the most part, Valdez gives me a Barstool story every day. But Barstool's not focusing on the guys that are sending dong shots or making out with the girls in the parking lot.
Unless it's a celebrity, they don't care. Because it happens all over the place, all over the country.
Yeah. That's rampant. In fact, I would say it's more rampant.
Absolutely.
It's an epidemic for these female teachers.
It's more rampant of guy teachers crossing the line.
Probably happens every 10 minutes.
It's just, I mean, it's in their nature. It's totally against these girls' nature to be doing this.
Guys are
sick. These girls are really screwed up.
Abby, you know that. Guys are sick in the head.
all right, let me give you the box office update.
Can you imagine just going home and going and just taking a picture of your dong and tweeting it out or sending it, texting it out to some 15-year-old girl?
No.
Can you imagine?
No.
Dude, what are you thinking?
When I'm at my house and like there are kids around, I'm like triple locking the doors. I'm making sure you know what I mean? Like, God forbid if I'm like using the bathroom or I'm taking a shower. Like, I'm just terrified of anything like that.
I know.
Being mistaken or anything. All right. Ralph Breaks the Internet. Number one at the box office again. 16 million. So far, it's made 140 million. These are just the worst movies. Dr. Seuss, The Grinch.
Hey, it's Christmas time.
No, the $15 million, that's made $233. Creed 2, JP swears by it. I just have no interest. So far, that's made $96
million.
Mm.
The Mule comes out Friday.
I want to see The Mule.
I'm going to see it Friday afternoon.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
12:30.
Made another $6 million. That's made $173 million in 6 weeks. I'm telling you to go see it.
Frank Hanrahan wants his money back.
Frank Hanrahan didn't like it. Somebody else hit me up on Twitter and said they didn't like it. I think it was fantastic. I think it's better than Star is Born. And I liked A Star is Born, too.
I saw both of them. Not at all.
The one I want to see, I'm curious, is Widows.
Oh, yeah. That's the female
gangster heist thing. Now, is that a period piece or is it
current times? No, it's current times.
Yeah, see, I want to see that. I literally might see that today. Today or tomorrow. I'm going to have to hurry because it's in top 10.
It's going to fall out of theaters.
Yeah, it's going to fall out of theaters.
Now, that's got Colin Farrell.
It's got a great cast.
Michelle Rodriguez is in that. Liam Neeson's in that. John Bernthal, my buddy.
I asked Kevin, I texted him the other day because I was going to go see it. I said, tell me about Widows. And he said his wife loved it, but he actually hadn't seen it yet. He was going to see it like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't gotten Kevin's review on it.
That's where the group of guys like Liam Neeson and Colin Farrell and those guys, I guess they get killed.
Right.
Right. And then they're
widows of like robbers and everything, and they want to keep the money that their husbands took.
Right, right, right. And the guy from Get Out is the villain.
Right.
Daniel Kaluuya.
I'm curious. It seems like my kind of movie.
I saw the trailers months ago.
You didn't get sighed?
No, it looks okay. It just looks a little too
unbelievable? Too Ocean's 11?
Well, no, it's
11-y.
Definitely unbelievable, but it just looks like it's a little too action-y for me.
Mm. I might be sized. This story is going to make you nuts.
Yeah.
For some reason, I really don't like Lance Armstrong. Just the whole kind of using cancer to protect him all these years. I just feel like, ugh. They're saying he's likely to be a billionaire, despite all of the lawsuits, all the money he had to give back, right?
Mm-hmm.
After all of his drama, because he invested back in 2000, what year was it? I thought I saw 2009, but it was several years ago. He invested $100,000, back in 2009, in a company valued at $3.7 million, and one of their largest assets, I guess, was Uber.
Oh. He just got
Uber
hooked.
Was recently valued at $120 billion, and a bulk of his $100K went to Uber when it was valued at just $3.7 million at the time. They're saying if those shares translate sort of proportionally, he could be worth close to $3 billion just based on his Uber investment.
$100,000 turns into $3 billion.
Now, he won't.
Is that what you said, $100,000?
Yes. He won't reveal the exact figure of his take in it, but he says it's too good to be true, and it saved his family after all the financial drama that he's been through.
I get so bitter when people just get hooked.
Just get hooked. But he had $100,000 to invest. He had $100,000 to sling around.
So did I.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of ironic that somebody who rides a bike all over the place invested in a ride-sharing company?
He didn't even know. He was investing in Chris Sacca. That's the guy that's on like Shark Tank occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that he basically was investing in his company, and he trusted that guy. And that guy had the wherewithal to invest in Uber.
Everything I'm saying is saying that $1 billion is not true. That it's closer to 20 to 30 million is what he made off it.
All right. Well, this is what this
New York Post reported $3 billion.
Yeah.
So. It might not be that high. It might not be.
Whatever it is, it's a lot. Court TV, Jason, this is unbelievable. They're saying Court TV has been out for 10 years.
Coming back?
Coming back in 2019. We are going to be sized. You and I were big watchers of that.
I loved it.
I
was riveted to some of those cases.
E.W. Scripps Company announced on Monday that the cable channel, known for its gavel-to-gavel coverage of court cases, is being rebooted more than 10 years after it was adjourned. They say they bought the brand assets, including its logo and 100,000 hours of old shows from Turner Broadcasting. It's going to relaunch in May of 2019. Court TV will feature in-depth legal reporting and expert analysis of the nation's most important and compelling trials. That's going to be silly.
Court TV.
It will air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on cable systems, and it will be available for free over the air and on digital channels in some cities. That's amazing.
Of course, we watched a lot of the O.J. Simpson trial on Court TV.
Right.
Also, Casey Anthony. I remember watching a lot of that on Court TV.
Jody Arias.
Jody Arias. I'm not sure Casey Anthony was on that.
It was on like HLN
or something. It turned into HLN.
Yeah.
But it was essentially like Court TV back in the day where they had the entire trial.
Right.
But I used to watch all those shows. I remember watching the show. I can't remember the girl's name, but she pushed her fiance off a cliff in Oregon. Do you remember that story? And she was on trial. She claimed he slipped and fell, but they found out that she pushed him.
Such a show.
Yeah, I mean, there's some great cases on Court TV.
Yeah, I can't wait. Butt-sized. Matt Lauer's still in the news. They're saying he looked rail thin and sickly while dining alone on a Saturday night. Just a year after he was fired from the Today Show, they say the unemployed 60-year-old had dinner solo in Sag Harbor, New York at 6:30 p.m., and his appearance shocked fellow diners. An eyewitness claimed Matt looked like absolute hell. He was rail thin, white as a sheet, has lost all of his hair. He looked sick and run down. Well, can you imagine?
No.
Now, he claims that he's been completely railroaded in this whole thing, that all of his relationships were consensual, and he was having affairs, and that was brutal to his wife and family, but none of it was not consensual. That's kind of his defense.
So now he's got no friends, and
he's out by himself. He's got some few old friends, but they're saying he's gonna probably move out to New Zealand, at least spend significant portions of the year. He's got some ranch out in New Zealand.
Man, have fun.
Let me see. Imagine Dragons.
That's the last place I would go if I had that much money.
Jason, are you an Imagine Dragons?
You and I would go to Vegas. I love Whatever It Takes. I love, let's see, what other songs do I really like?
They just have catchy, silly
Thunder.
Songs.
Thunder.
That was a hot one.
I'm trying to think what else I like from them. Whatever It Takes is just clear number one seed.
Yeah, I use this song for one of my kids' highlight videos. It's just silly.
Well, they're also the band that would play before the Stanley Cup games in Vegas.
Yeah, right.
It was like game two or something.
When Golden Knights.
When they performed this song before the game, I got so sized.
Well, apparently they're going to perform at halftime of the college football playoff championship game, January 7th, 2019.
Well, you know
ESPN and Interscope Records both announced the performance on Monday.
You know they'll do this song.
Silly.
I'm not a big fan of the song Believer, though. I really love Believer.
No, I like them all. They're all the same to me.
Yeah. Radioactive, okay, but whatever it takes.
Oh, that's another silly. They're all silly. There was a crew member that was killed on 50 Cent's Power Series. That's an awful story. According to TMZ, a production assistant was struck by an out-of-control SUV while setting up parking cones on the set of the show Power. Jimenez was 63, Pedro Jimenez, and had been a member of the show's crew since its debut in 2014. Just an awful, awful story. Kevin Hart, everybody did that story that, you know, he was announced.
You don't watch the show Power, do you?
No, I don't. Do you, Gatais?
I got hooked on
Stars?
It. It's some of the worst acting of all time, but I just got hooked on the storyline.
You, Gatais?
I mean, I watch it, yeah.
They're saying now, so Kevin Hart was named to be the host of the Oscars gig, and then, of course, they dug in there like these people do, and they found tweets from 10 years ago, and then they shamed him into not doing it. And now there are conflicting reports. There are some reports that they're considering going without a host, and you could understand why. Apparently, a lot of people turn it down. You know how much they pay you? So remember when Doogie Howser hosted it, mm-hmm. right? And then back in the day, like Dave Letterman and Jimmy Kimmel and all these guys. You know how much they pay the host?
It's nubbins, isn't it?
$15K to have a billion people watch you and to get ridiculed and just murdered
criticize all
the
your jokes.
Next day on all the media. Mm. The media just crushes you. It never meets expectations. It always disappoints.
So these Kevin Hart tweets were from years
from
ago?
Like 10 years ago.
Yeah, they're like from 2009. Like, and then they're also talking about his act, mm-hmm. where how he said like the worst thing that would ever happen to him as a father is if his son was gay or did something gay.
Right.
But it's all in his stand-up act.
Yeah.
I feel like comedians should get a pass.
Comedians are under assault.
Yeah, they should get a pass.
Well, radio hosts should get it a pass.
Definitely.
Well, and then
everyone's doing the same bit.
What Nick Cannon did was he was retweeting all these old tweets from like Amy Schumer and Sarah Silverman.
Right, where they were doing the same thing.
Yeah, and they had
were using
gay
the
slurs.
F-word and stuff. Yeah, of course.
And they were doing the same thing.
Yeah, of course. The double standard.
It seems like everyone's kind of over the troll bit.
I hope
The digging
like what
up.
They did to Kyler Murray or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
Kyle. Ridiculous. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And last but not least, this is the new bit that celebrities are doing, and I like it. Although I've never, I'm sure someday in my life I will be when I'm busto, but I've never put anything on layaway. But the new bit now is like Tyler Perry, he paid off a bunch of people's layaway, like 300 customers layaway, like at Walmart in Atlanta or something.
Mm-hmm.
Kid Rock did the same thing. He paid off $81,000 of layaways. For people in his adopted hometown of Nashville, at his local Walmart. Tyler Perry paid off $400,000 worth of people's layaway
items.
That's
because they can. They're filthy rich.
They are filthy rich.
God, how much money does Tyler Perry have?
Boatload.
What's all right. Awful movie after awful movie.
Are we going to have Jerry Brewer next? Jerry Brewer wrote a great column yesterday.
Yep. Back into the Bruce Allen stuff.
Saying it's, the time is now. We got to move on for Bruce. We'll have Jerry Brewer next right here. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Anyway, Jerry Brewer's a good friend of the show, Washington Post columnist, wrote an interesting article about Bruce Allen. It's titled, "It's Time for Bruce Allen, Architect of This Redskins Disaster, to be Shown the Door." I love the opening couple lines. There are bad losses, and then there are seminal moments of pathetic performance. It feels like the Washington Redskins suffered the latter on Sunday afternoon. Jerry, I can't argue with that, my friend. And I was saying on Monday that teams like the Oakland Raiders and the San Francisco 49ers are bad football teams, right? Having horrible years. And they might draft number one and two in the draft, but they beat their opponents. In fact, they beat a division leader in the Pittsburgh Steelers and another team, Denver, who is clearly in the hunt for the AFC wildcard spot. And those are bad football teams that still competed and found a way to win. The Redskins couldn't do it.
You're absolutely right. And, I mean, they still have a mostly healthy defense. And the bar is pretty low. If you're talking about they lost that game 21-3 because the offense couldn't get anything going, the defense did the best it could. I think it's a totally different conversation that we would be having early this week. But to be behind 40-0 in an NFL game, when you've got a defense that, you know, has a relatively low number of injuries compared to, you know, what any other team in the league is dealing with, that tells you. I mean, your guys aren't fighting for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time believing if there are players in that locker room who believed in the entire direction of this thing that they wouldn't play harder. And I know Jay Gruden is kind of speaking to the owner when he talks about, you know, how they were still fighting them and so on and so forth. But I just didn't see it on Sunday. And that's why you have to focus on larger issues. And that's where we are now.
Yeah, and you mentioned it in the article. Everyone knows it by now. We almost know it by heart with each passing game. The record under Bruce Allen's 58-82-1 now after the 40-16 loss. My question for you is, Jerry, I believe your last stop before you came here was Seattle. And I don't know, you've been in town for, it seems like 3 or 4 years. Maybe it's even been longer. But when did it, you know, we know here in D.C. what a buffoon Bruce Allen is, and we learned a long time ago how it wasn't working under Dan. As an outsider, you know, what did you hear about the organization, and then how quickly did you realize, wow, Bruce really is a big problem here?
Well, I mean, as an outsider, you just heard of, you know, dysfunction. You know, they're, I guess at the time, you know, everybody was telling me they're right there with the Jets as the worst run franchises in the league. You know, I get here and it's a total clean slate. I wanted to look at everything with my own eyes. I think that you know, at some point within that first year, I realized, okay, this is a little different. This isn't run exactly the way I've seen it run, you know, not just in Seattle, but it had been around the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Philadelphia Eagles, been around plenty of franchises to just know how it looks and feels. And more than anything, it's just, I think their biggest problem, to be quite honest with you, and we don't probably focus on this enough, it's just the fact that they don't know how to control the message with the public and with the media. And the fact that they've just punted on public relations. And I'm not talking about Tony Wiley and Zena Lewis and those guys. I'm talking about just the fact that the owner and the team president don't care about communicating with and trying to control the message within the media. I think it's the biggest problem that they have. Because that's how small things just turn into these raging fires with this organization. Hmm. And that's how one bad performance on Sunday just opens the floodgates for you to talk about everything that's wrong with this organization. And right. I hate to go back to it because it's a couple weeks old, but the Reuben Foster acquisition just changed everything about how this season was viewed. And there has to be some kind of impact on the locker room when your organization, you know, your U.S. players aren't catching the heat, but your organization is catching that kind of heat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but right. it's and it all goes on the hands of the team president who just will not hold himself accountable to the public anymore.
Right. So let's dig into this a little bit because, I mean, obviously it all starts at the very, very top. And if we took calls on it, every caller would say the same thing. Well, they're not going to win. As long as Dan's here, they're not, you know, it all starts with Dan, and it's impossible to argue that. But Dan's going to be here. He's not going to sell the team ever unless something crazy happened. He's just not. So we're stuck with him. But it starts with Dan. And you talk about all – and I believe Bruce takes his marching orders from Dan. So Bruce is the piece we can move, and I'm thrilled to do it, but buy his plane ticket out of here. But with all of your other stops in Philly, in Jacksonville, in Tampa, in Seattle, have you ever had a more enigmatic, if that's the correct word, owner than Dan Snyder? Why do we know nothing about him other than all of the legendary stories that we hear? Why does he not make himself available to the media? Why is he such an enigma? Are there others in the league that are like him? I can't think of any.
I can't think of any in the NFL. Now, I do remember in Seattle, covering the Mariners. And, they were owned by Hiroshi Yamauchi, who died a few years ago. Kind of the Nintendo founder, lived in Japan, never came to watch his team play a game. They had, they were not dysfunctional on the level, and they didn't do just ridiculous things like the team did. But in terms of losing and not having accountability, their organization was kind of the same way. I think not only do you need to have an owner who cares, and clearly, Dan Snyder has a level of passion.
No doubt.
But you have to have one who's willing to be visible. And you talk about these franchises as civic assets. Well, how are you going to be a civic asset when your owner hides in the luxury box every game? And yes, he was burned, but he needs to look back and say, sports is a real simple game. If you win, you get appreciated. If you lose, you get ripped. If you lose a lot, they want to run you out of town. So he needs to take a look in the mirror. I have been around organizations in which they've had bad owners or owners that have been perceived as bad, but they make the right hire and start doing the right thing.
Right.
And the whole perception changes. But the problem is I think Dan Snyder just has such a hold on the organization that he just won't back off and just let things go the way they're supposed to go. And Bruce Allen is a whole other dimension. He just has this weird spell over Snyder that's really hard to figure out.
It's a major character flaw, Gary. And if you have major character flaws, you're probably hiring people with major character flaws. And you would do that. I would do that. Eric would do that. If we were running a company and we knew it was failing year after year after year, especially with the guys running it, we would probably make a change. But either he just doesn't recognize it or refuses to believe it. He's so stubborn that he may not make a change here.
And when you're someone who has the trust issues that Daniel Snyder has, won't let anyone in, even among the people who work for him just won't open up. It takes a different kind of person to communicate with him. And I think when there's someone that he feels like he at least vibes with on the basic level of interpersonal communication, he doesn't want to let go of them. And I think a lot of this is just a test case of how isolated Dan Snyder is. You know, you would think that, you know, you're a billionaire and you're an owner of an NFL team. And yes, he's got friends, but you would think that everything would be open and he could communicate with anyone, all these doors open. But really, it just feels like all these doors are closed around him. And I think that's why, in terms of like kind of vetting what exactly the community feels, he doesn't have a great feel for that. For whatever reason, Bruce, being the great politician that he is able to keep planting ideas in his head. And they don't know until after the fact how bad these ideas are.
Hmm. Do you feel like there's any growing momentum? For some reason, I do. I've always sort of dismissed it in the past and just said, yeah, Bruce will just be here as long as Dan is until he, dies or quits. But I do sense that the frustration level is reaching sort of a fever pitch here. I think your column helps. I mean, obviously, the radio stuff, this has been happening for years. Everybody wants to get rid of Bruce. Are you seeing any signs, any cracks in the relationship? Are you hearing whispers? Because some of our guys are.
Well, I heard a lot more last year. I mean, I thought it was a greater possibility a year ago that something could happen. I think that's why the Oakland Raiders John Gruden rumor popped up a year ago. I felt like that was either Bruce or somebody from Bruce's camp really trying to show that there's still a desire to have him, which
Anytime you ask anybody even remotely associated with the Raiders, they're like, that's just a complete lie.
Yeah.
I did kind of hear that there were other people who were saying you really need to evaluate Bruce, but this time around, you know, I'm kind of hearing the exact opposite. Like, I'm kind of hearing, you know, pump your brakes on this thought that you can put two and two together and that it absolutely means that Bruce is going to lose his job. And that's disappointing. I mean, this is such a reactionary franchise. There's still three games to go. You know, for some reason, things get worse if they, you know, can't score a point and lose to that bad Jacksonville team 27-0 or something. Then I think some things start to change week to week. But as we stand right now on December 11th, if I were a betting man, I would bet that he wouldn't fire Bruce Allen.
Right.
He
would not.
Would not.
Yeah.
He would not.
I would agree with you.
Which shocks me.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It would be kind of surprising, but I would agree with you. And real quick on Gruden, you know, if he can beat Jacksonville, and let's just say he can win one of these other two, if he's 8-8 with Josh Johnson finishing out the last four games, you know what? I would have fired Jay too, but to kind of defend him, I don't know if you can if he had an 8-8 year with third and fourth string quarterbacks closing the year.
Yeah, I think any sign of life in Jay is safe as long as the front office remains the same. I honestly don't think that there is like this great, I think some fans are more upset with Jay than the people who are actually in the organization are. I think they're fine with him. I think they'd be fine. I think they'd be okay with another year. But the question is, I mean, if you make a front office change, you should empower a new team president to do whatever he deems necessary.
Oh, yeah, he'd probably fire him.
No, but the problem is, Jerry, the fan base is not fine. The fan base, you know, we had Rick Snyder on earlier, and then he said, you know, he's right. The fan base is broken. Broken over this. Like, this is bottom.
And that's where I you look at it and you say, well, you can't fire the owner. But one thing you can do is put enough pressure on the owner in which the owner feels like he needs to do something to serve you as the fans. And you're hoping that they're at that point. You know,
right.
He needs to show that I still listen to these people and I still care that they're putting their money or they're putting all their passion into this team. And I'm going to do something to show that I'm a steward, that I'm not just this guy who's under 60 years old, who's going to own this team forever and do whatever the hell I want to do. I'm going to show you that I'm still in service to you. And I think firing a Bruce Allen would be a great gesture to the fan base that there's still a little hope here. You still can believe that we can try to do something. We hear you. Might have taken us 6 years too long to hear you,
right,
but we hear you. And I think that's where, you know, if you're fans that want change, the pressure needs to be applied there. You know, are we voiceless in this matter? Because if that's the case, you know, this 55 and 57,000 people who show up on Sunday, that needs to be down into the 40s next year.
Well, I mean, if you believe Rick said there was 30,000 there. They can announce any number they want.
30,000.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And 20,
you know, they're thinking about dollars, but yeah,
right.
I mean, it's you know, after, you know, and that's my thing. After a year like this, in which, you know, just you have this visible evidence of how frustrated people are. If you trot the same thing out next year, it's only going to get worse. And it could get so bad that to the point where you get good again and people still won't believe in you.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened this year. We've
seen that happen to a few franchises.
Yeah, that's what happened this year at the beginning of the year. All right, they're giving us the wave sign because we're way backed up. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it as always, buddy.
All right, anytime.
All right, thank you.
Jerry Brewer.
Jerry Brewer, Washington Post.
All right. We're backed up. Come back. Final segment. Stay with us.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, so Eric has gone on record. He loves Bohemian Rhapsody.
I thought it was a great movie.
He saw it a couple weeks ago. He wants me to see it. I really don't have any interest.
Why do you not have interest?
I don't know. I'm just... There's nothing about the story that really interests me. It's not like I was a huge Queen guy.
So every time you hear one of those songs, it's silly. Does it bring you back to that era?
What era? When I was 7?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I like a couple of their songs, but I don't think I like them enough to go watch the movie.
Wow. And you aren't fascinated by the Freddie Mercury story? What a freak singer he was, but, you know, also had of all his, you know, troubles and addictions and everything else.
I know. It just doesn't intrigue me like it did you. All right, but there's plenty of movies that I've seen that wouldn't intrigue you.
Yeah,
so
of course.
It goes back and forth. But Frank Hanrahan, our good friend Frank Hanrahan from Channel 9, he saw it. WUSA.
And Frank, you said thumbs down, poop show, you didn't like it?
I texted Bish. I said thumbs down after I heard you give it some positive feedback. I just thought it wasn't that great in terms of I wanted more. I felt like they could have gone a lot deeper. To me, dude, the first thing I thought of is why are they making such a big deal of his teeth? Like we knew Queen back in the days. I never was like, oh, Freddie Mercury and those teeth.
Well, he might have been insecure about it.
Right. Well, he was insecure, but like, you know, watching it, I felt insecure just because they kept zooming in on his teeth. Like enough with the teeth. You know what I'm saying? And then the whole build up to Live Aid and everything happened on that day. I know that didn't happen, but it was just the flow of it was weird. Okay, I did want to go to like a concert because it was the concert scenes were good. That was about it. Yeah, that was about it. Though.
Well, no. you were at least intrigued enough to go see it.
Well, I was sort of dragged.
Oh, you were.
Didn't even want to be there. So you both don't even count.
I was sort of intrigued. I mean, it was. I didn't know enough about Queen. So there was, you know, after a little bit of prodding, I was like, all right, but yes, agreed. I was originally not that enthused.
Right. So he left. Mm-hmm. He went non enthused, and he left non enthused. Yeah. So that's not really fair.
He was already going into.
He didn't even go open mind.
He had a poor frame of mind.
Yeah.
But that's all it took was your text to me saying thumbs down, and I was out.
I would wait for, you know, on demand, save your money. I mean, right. You know, $15-16 for it. So, I mean, that's
Well,
ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. Does The Mule intrigue you? The Mule comes out Friday with Clint Eastwood and Bradley Cooper. Based on a true story, or I think it was a true story. About a guy who was an informant, and he's like a World War II vet, turned out to be an informant for one of the cartels, and it seems like a cool story.
Yeah, the preview looks good. That intrigues me.
That's my type of movie. Yeah.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Frank,
yeah, man.
While we have you on here, of course, you're a big superstar over at WSA, Channel 9. Uh-huh. Got to get your take on the Redskins drama right now. Is it time finally? We all know Bruce has to go, but I think it's time where it will actually happen.
You know what? My gut says no, just for the simple fact of the amount of spite that exists between, you know, the Redskins organization and the media. I'm telling you guys, if you're the owner and you hear all these people like yourselves and these scribes saying fire Bruce Allen, fire Jay Gruden, you might just say, you know what, the hell with you. I'm going to do what I want to do, and that will, in fact, factor into my decision, spite. I'm telling you. It's amazing, right? Because they, at the end of the day, they want to be right. They don't want to bow down and break down and do what everybody else is saying they should do. It's almost stubbornness. So I'm going to say he will stick on. Also, Jay Gruden won't get fired either because they still owe him, 2 years on his contract?
They
so
can't bring
up. And
your phone's so bad, Frank.
Yeah, your phone is
poopy. I don't know what's going on with your phone. It's so bad.
I guess when you go to TV, you forget about all the little radio guys.
Yeah.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
How often are you over at Redskins Park?
Oh, I haven't been out there at all this year.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so I got nothing.
I just don't see how they can bring the band back together. I think it's impossible.
Well, I think it kind of depends on how the season ends still. Because if he can win one or two of these games, he's still in the thick of it.
Even
going
if they
into
finish
week 17.
8-8 and Jay keeps his job, he still has to fire Minuski.
Okay, I don't
blame. He still has to fire the defense.
I would agree with that. But I don't know how you can fire a guy if he goes 8-8 or even 7-9 when he was playing with backups for the last 6 weeks.
Well, it's not like they've won with them.
Well, I mean, it's hard to win with backups.
That's when they started swooning.
That's why they're backups.
All right, Frank, we're up against the break. Thank you, buddy.
Bye,
appreciate it.
See you guys.
All
right. Bye, bro.
Yeah, I am taking the Frank Hanrahan thumbs down on Bohemian Rhapsody. Seriously, not at all. Mm-hmm. He was dragged there by his wife. Probably wanted to see it. He didn't want to see it.
Okay, Richie.
But
I'm still not going to see it.
I can't believe you're not a Queen guy.
I've seen so many more movies than you in the last 10 years.
I'm not saying I'm a movie guy.
I mean, I've seen so many good movies, and you just refuse to see them.
I'm not a movie guy. I'm just saying that's a great one, though.
Will you go see The Mule?
I'm intrigued by it, yeah.
All right,
I've actually really enjoyed the previews for that, and I don't like previews.
I just want to see
the dumb movie.
I'm going to see that on Friday, I think, on Friday. Hopefully, there's a 12:30 showing.
In fact, I want to
go get a little lunch and then go and hit it.
I'm going to text Kevin right now and ask him what he thought of Widows, though. That's the one I want to see first. I want to see Widows.
Widows. I want to see
The
Mule.
You're out on Widows. You're not going to see
it. I mean, it looks okay, but I think The Mule will be better.
Does
Widows come out this weekend as well?
No, it's been out.
Oh, it has?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's almost out of theaters.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm way behind.
Why is Neil tweeting? So CBS tweeted, with the Vikings lost to Seattle, Kirk Cousins' record versus teams above 500 falls to 4-24. And then Neil is hashtagging fake news. Why is he saying that's not accurate? Is that not accurate?
I don't know. That's what I read. That's what I read.
Okay, so here you go. Dan Steinberg says he saw that stat and he fact-checked it, and he actually went 7-6 in his last 13 against teams with winning. So maybe that stat wasn't up to date.
Okay, well, whatever it is, it's not good.
Okay, here's what it is. The stat isn't 4-24 against teams with winning records at the time of the game. It's 4-24 against teams that finished
with the winning record.
With winning records.
Okay, I got
okay.
you.
A mild distinction.
A little
there.
Bit of a nitpick.
Mild distinction, but that might be the more important one. What were they ultimately? Were they a winning team or a losing team?
Right,
ultimately.
Well, it's still not good.
Yeah,
he's not beating any good teams.
Against winning teams, he was 4-24.
All right, so he's not beating playoff caliber teams.
Yeah.
And he was not good last night.
Yeah, I didn't even watch. I'm telling you, he is dead to me.
I mean, that game was 3-0 at the half.
Right.
There must have been 12 punts in the game. Terrible. And believe me, Seattle wasn't good either. I mean, they ran for a bunch of yards, but Russell Wilson was not good.
All right, big show tomorrow. I'm sure Drabby and Valdez are working feverishly.
Yep.
To get us guests. I got a special guest, my buddy Paul Rabel's coming in on Thursday. I'm looking forward to that.
Like him. Yeah,
big
Paul's
announcement. Money. Well, he's already made the announcement. But we'll touch on that.
Talk some lax.
I see Grant and Danny over there. They're up next. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.